But the night you find it the most difficult to get here is the night you're going to need the message most. It's the devil that's going to try to hinder you on that night to keep you from getting what God wants you to hear. So make it your business to be here on time, and bring someone with you.
Amen.
Bring someone, bring your friends, bring your family, bring your enemies. But bring them all. Bring them so that God will have an opportunity to speak to their hearts. And it's good to know, to see Brother and Mrs. Steele here tonight. Mrs. Steele is the pastor's secretary at our church. And Brother Steele just hangs around. Now, affectionately, the Steeles are known to me as Rusty and Stainless. You can figure out who's who. Rusty Steele and Stainless Steele. One shines and the other just flakes off. I love the Steeles and I love to pick at them. And they've been faithful members of Trinity. And Mrs. Steele's mom and dad are two of the sweetest people on this earth, and two of the sweetest people I ever had the joy of pastoring in all the years of my pastoring. So it's a joy to say, I'm glad you came tonight, even though you got me. Have you found your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 1? If you're able to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, would you stand with me and follow me as I begin to read in verse number 8. Paul, writing the church at Corinth, says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on my behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to youward. For we write none other things unto you than that ye read or what ye read or acknowledge. And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit." Now notice that statement. "In this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I propose, do I propose according to the flesh? That with me there may be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I called God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Now I want you to read once again verse 23, where Paul said, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Notice the statement, I call God for a record upon my soul. Heavenly Father, help me tonight in these next few moments as we look at this passage of Scripture and glean from it its context and then make application to our own heart and to our own life about the things of God. Now, Father, I ask you to fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me as only you can use a preacher. And, Lord, work in hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls. I pray if there be one here that's unsaved, you'd save their soul this evening. And if there's one here that needs to unite with this church, I pray that they'd do it today. And Lord, I pray if there's one here who is saved and walking or living contrary to your will, that you would work in their heart and bring them to repentance, that they might come back to that right relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the best I know how, I yield to you myself and ask you to use me and speak through me, and I'll give you praise and glory and thanksgiving in advance for all you shall do in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth to explain why he had not yet returned to Corinth. He had promised them the last time he was there that he would come back again to them soon. Now, he was planning to return to Corinth, but because of a great conflict in Ephesus, he was not able to. So he moved on to Macedonia instead. And the people at Corinth didn't understand. They didn't understand why he didn't come back. And they were upset, and they had been accusing him of insincerity or breaking his promise to come back again to Corinth. Many of the people there in Corinth had even challenged the motives of his heart, and some had challenged his apostleship and ministry. And in answer to the church at Corinth, Paul makes one of the most unusual and heart-stirring statements you can read in the Bible. He said, moreover, no matter what you think about me, no matter what accusations you make, I'm willing to stand before God and call God to read the record upon my soul. The record God is keeping. He said, I'm willing to face that tonight and have him to read it. I wonder how many of us would be willing to do the same thing tonight. We'd be willing to call God to read the record upon our soul that he is keeping. The Bible truth is, one day the record of our life and soul will be read. Listen to the Bible in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, 11, and 12. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Then in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, records are not unfamiliar to our way of life. You go to buy a car, and they're going to ask you some questions, and they're going to check your credit record. They want to see if you're trustworthy or not. You go to apply for a job, And they want to know where you've been employed in previous times. They want to check your employment record. They'll check your police record to see if you have any arrests and convictions. They'll do a background check on you. They do a drug testing. Records are not unfamiliar of our way of life. If you were ever in the military, like your pastor and myself, then they'll check your military record to see what kind of a soldier you were, or sailor, or airman, or whatever you were. They'll check your military record. Following us throughout our life is our school record, our college record. Don't you wish that could be changed? And my dear friend, facing us in eternity is God's record that He's keeping upon our soul. The record of our life, how we lived it, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, we must accept the plain fact that God does keep a record of our life as we live it.
Yes, sir.
God is keeping a record. The word record, record, means to do it over again. Play it back.
Yeah.
You have a recording. It's something that took place at a time and was made into a record or a recording, and you can play it back again. Sports have instant replays.
Yeah.
Hey, that's nothing new with God. He's had an instant replay system throughout eternity past. God is keeping a record. I remember when instant replay first came out. Now, my mama and daddy were country folks. Daddy didn't finish the first grade. Mama finished the seventh grade. Daddy loved football, and every now and then, mama would get interested in a game. And one day I was watching football with my daddy after instant replay came out. And mama said, "That's the reason I really can't get into this, because they just play the same play over and over and over again with the same results." She was seeing instant replay and didn't know what she was seeing. Now, we must accept the fact that God is keeping a record of our life. Job, in the oldest book in the Bible, Job chapter 16, verse 19, says, "For my witness is in heaven, my record is on high." In Malachi 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." In Revelation 20, verse 12, the Bible says, "And I saw the dead," this talking about the great white throne, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now look at that. According to Revelation 20, verse 12, there's going to be at least three books that were judged out of. He said, look in it, "And the books were opened." Now, books is plural. The least number you can have to be plural is two.
Yep.
So let's say it's just two. And then he said, "Another book."
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm pretty good at this ciphering. Two plus another is three.
Uh-huh.
So there's going to be at least three books,
yes,
that we're judged out of. You say, what books are those? Well, one of them is going to be the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes, sir.
He's looking for the names of the redeemed. The Lamb's Book of Life has all of the names of the saved in that book. The moment you get saved, it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, if you had to face Him tonight and face your record, is your name written in that Lamb's Book of Life? And then the Book of Remembrance, Malachi talked about. A Book of Remembrance is written. You say, what's that third book? I think I know. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, in that day there's one that will judge you. My word shall judge you. The third book is the Bible. Whether you believe it or not or accept it or not is God's word. When we stand before God, we're going to be judged by the teachings of this book. It sure would be good if we'd learn to obey it and live by it today to please Him, because we're going to be judged out of that book. Now, I'm simply saying to you tonight, the Bible teaches us that God is keeping a record, and we're going to be judged according to the record that He's keeping on our life. Now, let me say also that God keeps accurate records here on of our doings here on earth. You're not going to be able to juggle the books. God keeps accurate records. God kept accurate records of the sin of the people as well as the righteousness of Noah in the days before the flood. He saw their thoughts and imaginations were continually wicked all day long. And He knew the difference between righteous Noah and his family and the unsaved and ungodly. He kept accurate records. God kept accurate records of the faithfulness of Joseph, both in Israel and in Egypt, even though everything seemed to be against him. Man, he was lied about. He was accused of trying to commit adultery with his boss's wife. He was put in prison. He was forgotten. But Joseph had done none of that. He was honest. He was right. He was living for God, and God blessed everything he touched. And God kept a record of it and brought him out of all of that and exalted him to the place in Egypt where only the Pharaoh had a higher seat than he had. Amen. God keeps accurate records. Amen. Nothing happens. Nothing is said. Nothing is thought that God did not have recorded in His book of remembrance. Well, the Bible says He's got the number of the hairs of our head numbered.
Yes, sir.
That word numbered, you look it up, it literally means named. This morning when I combed my hair, I wet my hair and I combed it and I looked in the sink and said goodbye to Joe and Sam and Jerry as they went down that little hole in the sink. For some of you, the job of keeping a record of the hairs on your head is not as big as it is for others. But the Bible says God has a record of the hairs of our head. The Bible tells us that every idle word we speak is noted. God keeps records. The Bible says God takes the tears of Christians and puts them in a bottle.
Amen.
Every sparrow that falls, the watchful eye of God sees and records it. Every lily in the field that lifts its blossom toward heaven, God sees and notes it.
Yep.
And this being so, how much more does God keep a record of the lives we're living here on earth? Whether they be good or bad, God keeps a record.
Yep. Amen.
God keeps a record. The second thing I want to emphasize is this. If we're ever going to have revival, we'd better consider what our record reveals to God today. You may fool me, you may fool mama, daddy, your neighbor, your husband or wife, but you're not going to fool God, because God's got the records. God's got the records. Hillary may lie about her records down here, but she's not going to be able to lie about them before God. God keeps the records. Records can be for us or against us. If God read the record of your life tonight, would it speak for you or would it speak against you? God's keeping the records. I'm often asked to write a letter of recommendation. And I'll tell the person I will. But I'm going to tell the truth. I'm not going to lie for you. Some people say, well, just forget that preacher. Others say, I sure would appreciate you doing so. Now, before God, our record speaks for itself. God does not lie for any person. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day, what day? The record day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now your record will reveal the real you and the real me. It'll reveal our real attitude about things of God and about teachings of this book. What's your record going to reveal about you and what you believe? Let me ask you, first of all, what's that record going to reveal about your attitude toward lost souls? Are they a bother to you? Well, I just don't want to be bothered. Do you ever look at them and realize they are a soul for whom Jesus died? Yep. Jesus loved them and suffered and bled for them as much as He did for you.
That's right.
And He commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He tells us that it is His will. He has ordained us that we should bring forth fruit.
Yep.
What's your attitude about souls? Well, it's a bother. I don't want to be bothered. Or I don't want anybody to say no to me. Well, dummy, they're not saying no to you. They're saying no to Jesus.
That's right.
Our job is to go and make sure they understand the gospel. What's your real attitude toward lost souls? Are they precious to you because they're precious to God? They ought to be. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And the only plan He left here for sinners to be saved was that me and you who know Him tell them about Jesus Christ. What's your attitude toward church? Your church. I'm amazed at people that say, oh, how much I love Jesus, but they don't join His church, they don't attend His church regularly, they don't love His church. Well, let me tell you, my dear friend, you think about what the church means to God and ought to mean to every Christian.
Amen.
You see, the Bible tells us that Christ died for the church. When He appeared after the resurrection, He appeared to the church. He gave power to the church. When He had a commission to give, He commissioned the church. When He wrote letters, He addressed them to the church. Church is the body of Christ. Church will be the bride of Christ. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, the Word of God. What's our attitude about the church? The church is the only institution God organized, empowered, and commissioned to evangelize the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church is the guardian of the truth, the guardian of the doctrines of Christ and His church. The church has won our children, buried our dead, married our young people, and comforted us in times of sorrow. What's your attitude about the church? God knows He has it recorded in His record.
Amen.
Do you really love your church? What are you doing for God through your church?
Yep.
Are you faithful to your church? Do you support your church with your tithes and your offerings and your prayers?
Amen.
God has it all written down in the book. Many don't even have active membership. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that said, oh, my membership is back at Crooked Creek Baptist Church where I grew up. We go back once a year to graveyard cleaning. Well, where do you go to church? We don't have any other membership. God forbid.
Amen.
Church membership would do you no good unless you're there to attend.
Yep.
Every person needs three kinds of homes. Every person needs a good Christian home to be raised in. Every person needs to know they've got a heavenly home.
Amen.
And every Christian needs a church home.
Amen.
Where they can serve God and live for God. Oh, what does your record reveal about your church? I'm amazed at people that just want to use the church but not attend it or support it or pray for it or be a part of it. When I pastored in Baton Rouge, we'd built a beautiful new 1,200-seat auditorium. And people driving by looked at it. It was beautiful. And I got this phone call from this woman one day, and she said, Brother Smith, we drive back and forth to work, and we pass by that beautiful new church building every day. Our daughter is getting married, and we wonder if she could be married in that church. And I said, well, ma'am, are you a Christian? Oh, yes, we're faithful Christians. Do you go to church? Oh, yes, we go to church. I said, where's your church membership? Well, we don't really have one. We just go here one Sunday and there one Sunday and over here. You told me you gave your tithes. Where do you send your tithes? They said, oh, we'll send it to this television preacher, this radio preacher, or if we need it, we'll give it to keep it for ourselves or give it to someone else. Brother Smith, can our daughter be married in that beautiful new auditorium? And with all the love and the kindness that is my nature, I said, no! Let her get married on the television with the television preacher you support.
Yeah.
Let her get married on the radio where you support that radio evangelist.
Come on.
If you don't love the Lord's church, you don't love the Lord. And you can't just use the church.
Help us.
What's your real attitude about church?
Amen.
Do you love it? Do you love it? I never will forget that family. Their name was Mr. and Mrs. Duck. D-U-C-K. And let me tell you, there's a couple of quacks. She did all the talking for the family. I don't know if he was henpecked or not, but I think he didn't sleep in the bed. He roosted on the headboard. What does the record, your record, reveal about your relationship to the Lord's church? Is it your church? Are you faithful? Do you love it? Do you attend it regularly? Do you support it? Do you pray for it? Are you trying to increase its size and strength for His glory? Thirdly, our records reveal our real attitude toward God and Jesus Christ. Do you really love Him first? Is He preeminent? He's not interested in our casual love. He wants to be our first love. He said to the church at Ephesus, I have somewhat against thee because you have left your first love.
Right.
Talking about their love relationship with Him.
Right.
How's your love relationship with Jesus? Your record's going to reveal it one day. The Bible says, in all things He might have the preeminence. Is He the first love of your life? Does He have first place? Or is He someone there you just use in time of crisis? What's your real attitude toward God and toward Jesus? Do you believe Him? Do you trust Him? Do you obey Him? Do you follow Him as He leads you to do His will?
Amen.
Do you profess that He is God and live at the same time like the world? Our record's going to reveal our real attitude about Him.
Yep.
What does your record reveal about the new birth experience? 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12 says, and this is the record,
yep,
that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Yep.
First verse I ever memorized as a little boy in Sunday school was verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. people say, I can't understand the Bible. Here's a verse that's got all one syllable words in it. You can't understand that? Something wrong. This is the record. I want my record to reveal that I've been saved the Bible way.
Yep.
That I've been born again. That I've passed from death into life. That the wages of sin had been paid for and the sins have been blotted out of the book by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Does your record reveal the new birth? Now, let me also ask the question, can our records in heaven ever be changed? Can our records in heaven, can they ever be changed? You know what the answer to that is? Yes! Thank God, yes! Our records can only be changed by God one of two ways. No man can change his own record. Only God is in charge of those records. Now say, first of all, that salvation changes a person's record in heaven. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Brother Jose, you had a new start this morning. Brand new record beginning in heaven. The old record's blotted out by the blood of Jesus. The old record's blotted out. A brand new start, hon. A brand new start. Oh, thank God for salvation. The Bible tells us that when a person accepts Christ as Savior, that their sins are blotted out and are remembered no more. Listen to Isaiah in chapter 44, verse 22. God said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. In Acts 3:19, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. In Psalm chapter 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. In Hebrews 10:17, God says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, thank God, salvation changes our record. We're given a new birth, a new beginning, a new life in Christ Jesus. Salvation is provided only through the blood of Jesus, and it's received by simple childlike faith when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again for our justification. Salvation prepares a person for heaven, and no sin can enter into heaven. Our sins must be forgiven and washed away. Salvation puts our sin to the account of Christ's death, where they're paid for, forgiven, blotted out, washed away, never to be remembered again. And then secondly, the Bible tells us that when a Christian sins, that confession of that sin and repentance changes our record. It's God's will. Let me tell you this. It's God's will that Christians not sin. Little children, these things write unto you that you sin not, the Bible says. That's His will. But God, who knows us, knows all about us, knows that though we don't want to sin, at times we do sin after we get saved. That does not mean we've lost our sonship, our salvation. Yeah. It does mean that we lose our fellowship with Him.
Yeah.
We lose His blessings and good pleasure on our life. But listen to me. He says, I understand all about that. And my shed blood did not just save you from your sin and cleanse you from your sin. It will continue to cleanse you. He says, listen to the Word of God. If any man sin, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And again, God says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, what does that mean, if we confess our sins? When we got saved, we didn't have to confess every sin we've ever committed in order to be saved. We had to confess that we're sinners. We had to acknowledge that we're sinners. You see, if I had to confess every sin I ever committed before I got saved, I could have never gotten saved because I couldn't remember them all. But God remembers them all. He has them written in His book. And He simply wants us to confess that we're sinners. And when we do, God washes them all away and blots them all out of His book, never to remember them again. But now that we're saved, He says, but when we sin, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now listen to me, my friend. He said if we will confess our sins, He wants us to call it by name. Yeah. Here's the way the average Baptist does it, and it's wrong. We'll wait 6 months and then say, God, if I've sinned, would You forgive me? No, that's not what He wants. When we sin, we have someone in us whose job is to reprove us of sin. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. It's impossible for a Christian to sin and not know he sinned.
That's right.
Well, I didn't know I sinned. Liar, liar, pants on fire. The Holy Spirit's job is to make sure you understand you've sinned. And God wants us at that moment to cry out to Him and say, God, I've sinned. I lied today. And I ask You to forgive me and cleanse me of that sin. And He said if we will, He'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our record can be changed by confessing our sin and repenting of our sin before Almighty God. You say, what does it mean to confess our sin? It means to agree with God that's as bad, it's as bad as God says it is. See, that's our problem. We don't think our sin's all that bad. But it was so bad that it took Jesus dying and bleeding on Calvary to pay for it. And God says, I want you to cleanse it. I want you to be cleansed of it. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It didn't say cleansed us. It says, cleanseth us.
Right.
You know, that word shows perpetual action. It did cleanse us when we got saved. And it keeps on cleansing us as we confess our sin before Almighty God until we're presented faultless before God. Not because we're perfect or good, but because of the shed blood of Jesus. And we keep going back to Him and confessing our sin. Would you be willing tonight to call God to read the record upon your soul tonight as it is right now? What would your record say tonight? The truth is, many here tonight and throughout this world who say they're Christians are not ready to face God with the life they're living and the record that God has upon their life. Their record's not up to date. As Christians, we just let it go. We've ignored sin. We've ignored carnality. We've ignored things that we've done that's contrary to the will of God. Now, I'm not talking about getting saved again. You can't ever get born again and again and again and again. But you must be born again.
Yep, that's right.
On July the 30th, 1939, in a little country farmhouse in Hayden community outside of Myrtle Spring, Texas, I was born into this world. I was born the son of George and Emma Smith. Now, you wouldn't believe this, but there were times I didn't always obey them. And when I disobeyed, daddy or mama didn't say, all right, son, we're going back to the doctor and you're getting unborn. No, once you've been born again, it's impossible to get unborn again.
Amen.
Once you've been born into this life, it's impossible to get unborn out of this life.
Right.
It was Jesus who chose the term, ye must be born again.
Amen.
And he compares spiritual birth to physical birth in John chapter 3.
That's right.
Now, he did that for a reason. He wants us to know that once we've been born into the family of God, we can't ever get unborn out of the family of God.
Right.
We're God's children. You know, when I did wrong, I still mama and daddy's son, good or bad.
That's right.
And when we sin as Christians, we're still God's child, good or bad. We don't lose our sonship, but we lose our fellowship and we lose his blessings on our life.
Right.
Now, I've said all of that to say this. There's many a Christian today living with their records not up to date. Things that have been neglected in our life that ought not to have been neglected. And we'd hate to face God with the record he's got upon our soul tonight. Would you be ready to face God like you are right now? Perhaps there's someone here tonight who desperately needs to be saved. You've never really been born again. Maybe you've joined a church or you've been religious, but you've never been born again. Oh my, it's going to be recorded as it really is in the book. You know what's worse than never being saved? Being a part of the church and hearing the gospel and never accepting Christ as Savior. Why, Jesus said, if we hear the gospel and we don't accept Jesus, the homosexuals of Sodom and Gomorrah are better off than us. They never heard the gospel and rejected Jesus. We did.
Yep. Yeah.
God help the person who sits in church and has never been saved. It's all on our record.
Right.
It's all on our record. There are others here who have been truly saved, but would be ashamed to face the record of their Christian life because you've been unfaithful. You've not been what God wants you to be for Him. It's serious business I'm talking about tonight. We're living in a world where one day we're going to come to an end of our life and we're going to have to face God. And God's keeping a record upon our soul. Some of you tonight need to do business with Him. Your church record is not what it ought to be. Your tithing record is not what it ought to be. Your witnessing record is not what it ought to be as a Christian. Your attendance record is not what it ought to be. Moreover, I call God to read the record upon my soul. One day He is. Will you be ready to face it? Good or bad, we'll have to face it.
That's right.
It's far better to face up to it now and get it right and get it cleaned up and start anew with Christ Jesus than to go ahead and live the life we're living without regard to the fact that one day we must face Him.
Yep.
Paul said, God knows the record of my heart. I planned to come to you folks. I was hindered. I was led hitherto. I'm willing for God to read the record upon my soul. Are you? Father, that's our message tonight.